I am going to start out here and go pretty lickety-split because I'm going to have to be honest from the very beginning and tell you that today's sermon is pretty full. That's my nice way of saying it's a little long. It's a little full, and so, you know, if you need to go to the bathroom, if you want to go get Coke and popcorn, you know, go ahead and go do all of that right now because it's a little long, but it is such a power-packed passage. I whittled and whittled and whittled until I could whittle no longer. So I'm owning that at the beginning, so get settled in. At the back, we have cards. If you read your note about Alex, it says that Denise would take those cards with her to graduation. Well, that didn't happen. However, Alex is going to be the liturgist for us on June 9th, the day that we do the offering. And so if we could have those cards signed and present those to her on the day that she's here. So you'll find one on each side. Just take a moment to write your name, write a short note, draw a smiley face or a heart, whatever you need to do to let Alex know that that we're thinking of her. If you'll notice in the back, there is a basket. We, in Texas, if you look on Facebook, you constantly see the jokes about, you know, this morning I put on my snowsuit, this afternoon I'm in my swimsuit. I mean, it is just, the weather is nuts. And sometimes keeping up with all of that leaves us in a not comfortable state. So for those of us who are naturally cold like me, believe it or not, there are days when I can't wait to get into this robe because it's warm. But there are blankets that are at the back, crocheted blankets. And I do want to say that those were all crocheted by Gary's mom. And they have been in our closet, just sitting in vacuum-packed bags. And we decided what better way to use them to offer them here. So if you have a tendency to be cold, grab one of those on your way in and be comfortable. I do want to say a word of welcome back to Jake this morning. Jake is going to be singing a little bit later. But I don't know if Melody and Jake knew it, but as I was up here this morning preparing, I was sitting behind the pulpit. And they were playing, and they were singing, and they were laughing, and just having a great time. And Melody, it reminded me of coming home from college, and the first thing my mom would say is, come sit at the piano and let's play. I would play, and we would sing the old hymns. It was delightful to listen to you all this morning. Thank you. So Jake, good to have you here. There are multiple other announcements that are in the bulletin. Take your time to look at those. Start getting to know Wilson a little bit ahead of time, and he will be here on the third Sunday in June, the first Sunday that I will be gone on vacation. So he's going to get baptism by fire, and he's ready for it, and he is going to be wonderful. Our prayer request this morning, you see those that are in the bulletin. Obviously, Jennifer is not here, and I just made the decision then rather than trying to find another liturgist, you've got me all day. So we want to remember Jennifer as she's taking care of her mom. A couple of prayer requests from breakfast yesterday. Tashima has asked prayers for a lifestyle change, for a chance to start over. And I think what a wonderful prayer that is. And it's a prayer that we all can pray together for so many. And so we keep Tashima in our prayer. And then there was an anonymous prayer request just for acceptance without judgment. And again, I think those are prayers of our hearts. And so we ask that for whoever wrote that and for all the others who need that same kind of acceptance, that the Lord would hear our prayers this morning. Jacob reminded me this morning to remember in prayer those who the young one who lost their lives, those who are still hospitalized because of reckless behavior, because of drag racing, because of immaturity, I think. And so if you have not heard about the wreck from the drag racing on Lake June, please keep those families in your prayers. And Jacob, thank you for your tender heart. He also reminded me that we need to pray for our service, men and women. And I was able to say, I'm on that one, Jacob, I got it. So we are going to remember and ask prayer. And also one last thing, all of the victims of the floods, the hurricane, the tornadoes. My sister sent me a text this morning and said they all got a little bit closer together. Ashley's home from Africa right now, and they spent a lot of time in their safe place last night. And so for those along those rivers that are flooding, let's keep them in prayers. All of you who have served, who have loved ones who have served in any branch of our military and our armed forces, would you please stand? And together we say, thanks be to God. And we say it again, thanks be to God. Thank you all so much for the selflessness that goes along with serving. And instead of our opening prayer this morning, I would like to offer this prayer as we prepare for worship. God of peace, as our nation pauses today to remember those in the military who have given their lives for freedoms that we enjoy, we pray that you would have us all look to you for strength and comfort and guidance, for wisdom, and Lord, for peaceful solutions. We ask that you be with all who are serving in the armed forces now. We ask that you watch over them and their families, that you give them the loving protection that they need. And Lord, we also pray for peace among all nations. But we ask this morning that you will let your mercy rest upon our land, even as we acknowledge with thanksgiving your past goodness on this country. Lord, keep us strong and faithful, and keep us always, Lord, in your care. We pray that you would turn the hearts of all, both military and civilian, to your holy word, because, Lord, that's the only place that we can find true peace, the kind that surpasses all of our understanding. Hear our prayers, Lord, in the name of your Son and our Savior. Amen. truth of the gospel is that God is calling us to new and sometimes uncomfortable places. Christ has brought the love of his Father and has given us peace. The Son has laid out our task and has given us legs to walk again. Amen. Please be seated. We come this morning before God, confessing all of those times when we have perhaps ignored those kinds of living waters that flow through us, or perhaps those times when we have walked away from the tree of life. So together we ask God to forgive us, to bring us back to that life that God so wants us to have. Let us confess our sins together. Again, the truth of the good news is that the Holy Spirit is with you, with me, surrounding us, strengthening us, and sometimes even pushing us on to where we need to be. We are always being offered new life. And so today I declare to you, I declare to myself, that in Jesus Christ our sins are forgiven. Live in the fullness of not that knowledge, and know with assurance that we are loved. Open our hearts once again to God. By the power of your Spirit, guide us, Lord, in the direction that you would have us go. Illumine our hearts with a deeper awareness of your precious word, and give us grace to love you more and to serve you better in this place and in any place where you put us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. First reading is from the New Testament book of Acts, 16th chapter, verses 9 through 15. Listen as we hear Paul's words. During the night, Paul had a vision. There stood a man of Macedonia pleading with him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when he had seen the vision, he immediately tried to cross over to Macedonia, being convinced that God had called us to proclaim the good news to him. And so we set sail from Troas, and we took a straight course to Samothrace, and following that day to Neapolis. and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city in the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city for some days. But then on the Sabbath, we went outside of the gate by the river where there was supposed to be a place of prayer. And we sat down and we spoke to the women who were gathered there. And a certain woman named Lydia, a worshiper of God, was listening to us. She was from the city of Thyatira and a dealer in purple cloth. The Lord opened her heart and listened eagerly to what she was saying, or to what Paul was saying. And when she and her household were baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, please come and stay at my home." This is the way that she prevailed upon us. Hospitality when you don't even know someone. Second reading this morning comes from John's Gospel, the 5th chapter, the first 9 verses. This is happening just as the festival is about to begin. So after there was the festival of the Jews, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And now in Jerusalem by the Sheep Gate, there is a pool. In Hebrew, it's called Bethesda, which means five porticos. In there lay many invalids, the blind, the lame, and paralyzed. One man who had been ill for 38 years was among them. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been there for a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the cool water when it is stirred up. And while I am making my way, someone else steps down ahead of me." And Jesus said to him, "Stand up, take your mat, and walk." And at once the man was made well. He took up his mat and he began to walk. Now that day was a Sabbath day. Thanks be to God who takes no rest, even on the Sabbath. Amen. Okay, here we go. Jumping all the way back to the time of Jeremiah the prophet, we find that God's people are hurting yet again, with the Babylonians breathing down their neck. And the question is asked, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Is there no healing for God's wounded people, wounded in mind, wounded in spirit, and yes, some wounded in body? Can God not pull out the doctor's pad and prescribe an end to all of this suffering? But then, why would balm, a sticky, stinky, camphor-odored substance from a plant, help anyway? When I was doing my exegesis on this, I discovered, and I don't know why I had not known before, but this plant that smells like camphor can also be used as a perfume, to which I think my granddaughter Molly would say, ooh, what that mail, what that mail. She does not like stinky smells. But mostly, like the aloe vera plant, this particular plant was used for medicinal purposes. And obviously, we're talking about more than just physical sores. We are talking about people, even God's people then and now, who need a heart healing. A healing so deep that no stinky, sticky ointment is going to do the trick. So that brings up another question. What's the significance of this stinky salve coming from Gilead, native to that land right around the Jordan River? Well, we're going to go back even further than Jeremiah's time, where we find the story of Jacob and his father-in-law, Laban. If you haven't read that story in a while, it's worth doing so. There's just so much insight into human nature that's there. But in a nutshell, the relationship between these two is a bit rocky, and the tension is turned up when Jacob decides that he is going to take his family away in the middle of the night. Well, obviously, this is Laban's family also. So after all of the raging from the father-in-law happens, the calm-tempered Jacob decided not to engage in conflict. Instead, he took up stones and he instructed his family members to do the same, and they began piling them into a big, larger heap. It was at that site where the two men entered a friendship covenant. Around those stones, whose Hebrew name means a heap of witness, is a friendship covenant. It's born between these two men. And more than friendship, this became a place of healing for the heart, for forgiveness and moving on. And thus, we have a balm in Gilead. Okay, now, fast forward, and the true source of all healing for our sin-sick souls is revealed in the saving grace and the spiritual medicine that we know as Jesus Christ, the great physician. And if anyone is in need of healing, it is this man with a 38-year history of visible wounds, but also these wounds that are so deep down inside of him that he doesn't even have the energy anymore to address them. Beside this pool of water, every day is the same, watching, waiting, hoping. I've been sitting here for 38 years. Years, count them, 38 years, he cries out, and nothing changes. Is this all there is to life? Am I ever going to be made well? The good questions. And maybe he said them loud enough for others to hear, maybe not. You know, it's been said that a student, or in this case, a patient, learns as much from the questions that are asked as the information that is received. And no one is better at asking questions than Jesus. And so he asks him this very insightful question after all of that. He says, man, sick for 38 years, do you want to be made well? because the harsh truth is that there are some people in life who generally don't want to be made well. They have gained their identity from their sickness, and it is just too hard to change. In this case, though, Jesus already knows the answer, and most likely so too does the man. But his resolve long ago is that he can no longer dig so deep down inside of him, and because he can't, he is missing that well of life that wants to spring forth from him. He's too focused on what's happening outside of him with the hopes that something over there in that magic pool is going to change him, change his circumstances. He spent his life beside this pool called Bethesda. He has believed in its healing powers when the angels come and stir it up. You all know that most likely that bubbling happens because there were underground springs running through it. But for those people who were considered the outcast, the lame, the unclean, they needed angels. They needed someone to take mercy upon them. But you know, after 38 years, I think it is safe for us to assume that this man has an as soon as kind of attitude. As soon as the water bubbles up, then I will get off of my mat. As soon as those able-bodied people who are around me come and carry me to the water, then I'll be okay. As soon as I get in the water, all of my problems are going to be gone. As soon as you take away the pool, the setting, and his story could be my story at times. Maybe it could be yours. I sometimes have this illusion that if things out there, if people over there would just change, then my world would be so much better. If people would just get their act together, then everything would be well for me. We all have our as soon as stories. As soon as the event is over, then I'm going to recharge. As soon as he apologizes, then I'll listen. As soon as this grief is over, then I'll never be sad again. And my favorite, as soon as I win the lottery, then I'll do good in life. As soon as. And in all honesty, out of good stewardship, out of taking care of the things that God has blessed us with, sometimes there is some truth to those as soon as scenarios. Sometimes we do need to stop and listen. But the illness, the sickness sets in when we don't take the time to look within sooner than later. Our souls remain sick when they're always looking for another pool of Bethesda, another source of healing that doesn't ask anything of us much. Cures don't always come when we are looking for someone else to put us in the water. Instead of waiting in ourselves in an attitude of trust and thanksgiving, that proverbial pool is there for us to get into. How often do we put our spiritual life on hold, glued to that mat because the circumstances of life keep us from wanting to get up and keep us from moving our spirits and our hearts and our hands toward that true healing of our sin-sick souls. Always moving forward toward the great physician. Certainly, we can look to Jesus for a once-and-all salvation, but how often do we forget to say thank you for for those little saving bubbles of grace that come up in our lives every single day because we're too focused on the world out there and not the physician that is within us. We already have the prescription for healing. It's written on the pad that we call our hearts. Just a word of clarity and reality, I think. Outside forces are real. There are life circumstances that take their toll on us. They have an impact on us. But you and I are more than our circumstances. We can, or in some extreme situations, others can make the decision to change the direction of our lives. But we have to want to get up off of the mat and to go toward healing. We have to pray for it. We have to go and seek out places and seek out people and seek out ways that will put us in that proverbial pool, into the waters like baptism that cleanse and bring new life to our sin-sick soul. How do we spend our time? There's a powerful moment in this story. It's so easy to read, and yet it's so easy to read that sometimes we just sort of skip over it. Maybe you haven't. But here's the fact. Jesus doesn't put the man in the pool. Jesus just comes to his mat, in essence, to his life, and he says, stand up, take your mat, take your life, circumstances, and get moving. And the man does. He walks, he carries his mat, his life with him. Jesus doesn't tell him, or he doesn't tell us, that a healed and a saved soul is going to get rid of all of life's realities. Life is going to happen. But we can let the circumstances of life dictate how we live, or we can pick up our lives and we can carry them with us to that promised healing that we have in Jesus. It can be a healing for those who have never encountered the grace of God, but it can also be a healing for those of us that know we are sinners saved by grace. That reminder that even in the midst of real life, we can allow the Lord to touch our hearts and to help us change our circumstances. But Jesus' love and Jesus' forgiveness, and yeah, even sometimes a kind of kick in the backside, sometimes we all need that so that we can change. When we as individuals, when we as the church, when we as the whole world stand and rise and stop waiting for someone or something else, or for one of those as soon as moments, to start being and seeking and speaking and living with gratitude of a sin-sick soul that has been saved. When we take the steps to move forward and to live in that promised life of Christ, that's when the bubbles start to come up around us, churn in us, and like God's angels, like Jesus' hands, like the encouragement of the Spirit, new life, a new prescription for life comes straight to our hearts from the great physician. I'm about to close, just a little more, because I have a few mats that I'm sitting on, a few life circumstances that are keeping me a little less than fully trusting, pushing me on that as soon as kind of mentality. And I needed to hear this story today. It's my story. And I know I need to pray. I don't want to sit on the sidelines. I want to be in the middle of that pool. I want to be there being healed and being made whole, moving and changing and fully trusting. I could be this man with Jesus asking me, and let me maybe back up, I am this man with Jesus asking me to look deep inside for some answers to these questions. How much do I really want to grow? What am I prepared to do to grow with God? How much energy am I prepared to put into my spiritual disciplines? What am I prepared to give up and to let go of? Who am I prepared to forgive? Jesus could just as well be looking at me today and saying, "Do you want to be healed? What about you? Are there these outside circumstances in your lives right now that are fooling you, fooling me into believing that the soul healing that Jesus offers comes around just every now and then, kind of like when the spring bubbles up, when the angels stir it? Or is it time in your life, is it time in the life of this congregation to make some waves, to blow some bubbles, because we do trust in the prescription, the spiritual medicine of Jesus to cure whatever it is that is making us ill? I pray that we all take time out to think about the acts of God in our lives, those little small graces that come along. Take time to count our blessings and then show the gratitude that is owed to God. It is good and it is right that we do that. It is the response of faith, that it is a love to a God who has first sought us out and through that great physician, Jesus Christ, gave us the only prescription needed for the saving of our sin-sick souls. Do you want to be made well? And if you are well, do you want to be made even more well? The prescription is already right here on our hearts. We just got to use it. Amen. And part of using that healing is that reminder that we do affirm that Jesus is our Lord, our Savior, that the Spirit is with us, that the God who created us loves us still and loves all of creation. And so I invite you to stand as we together affirm our faith.
We believe.
like those gathered around the pool that day as the angels came to stir the waters, at least in their minds. May the angels stir among us this morning as we offer our prayers to God and as we listen for God's responses. Let us pray. Holy God, whose Spirit moved over the waters at the dawn of creation, hear our prayers for all of us who thirst today. We pray for those who are spiritually thirsty, who long to know your presence, but don't know where to find you. Lord, let us be your guide. We pray for those who are alone without hope, those who long to feel needed and loved, those who are searching for meaning and for purpose. Lord, use us for your purpose. We pray for all who are physically thirsty, who don't have enough water to drink or feed their animals, those whose fields are parched, those who have to walk long distances to even find water. Lord, we pray for those who are dry. And on the other hand, Lord, we pray for those who have experienced the flood of waters, too much abundance. We know that lives and homes and animals, much of your creation, God, has been destroyed by too much water. And so whether, Lord, there is too much or too little, we put this in your hands and we pray that as you renew our lives, you will also renew the life of your creation. We pray for those who are thirsty for justice, who long for just that equal sharing of the resources that we have. Not too much, not too little, but what we have. Lord, this morning we ask that you be with Jackson and Joyce, that you remember those who are waiting out the weather in so many places right now. Lord, we are grateful for birthdays and for nieces and for families. We are grateful for the young new life that couples bring, and particularly Kayla and Ronnie. We ask God that you will hear the prayers of Tashima, and that all of us, Lord, would feel acceptance without judgment. Give us the courage to work together alongside one another with you surrounding us. In the name of Jesus Christ, the source of all living water, we pray together saying,
Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
We read the brief story of Lydia. We didn't go into it. But Lydia, that maker of complicated purple cloth, heard the good news just one time. And she opened up her house. She opened up her life. And she was the face of hospitality to those who needed to know the Lord. This morning, may we be as receptive to God's will and to God's purpose as we give back our gifts of thanksgiving. Let us receive God's tithes and our offerings.
Well, I hope I'll see you later. Because it's time for me to go. That's my ride that just pulled over. Sure was good to know you. Go answer. Go and fill somebody's cup. And if you see an angel falling, won't you stop and help them up? Because we are each other's angels. And we meet when it is time. We keep each other going. And we show each other signs. Sometimes you will stumble. Sometimes you might fall down. Sometimes you'll get lonely with all these people around. You might shiver when the wind blows, and you might get blown away. You might even lose your colors, but don't you ever lose your faith. Because we are each other's angels, and we meet when it is time. We keep each other going. Show each other signs. So go answer your calling. Go and fill somebody's cup. And if you see an angel falling, won't you stop and help them up? Because we are each other's angels, and we meet when it is time. We keep each other going, and we show each other signs.
Let us offer our thanksgiving to God. Gracious God, may these offerings before us be like the leaves of your tree of life. May they be healing for all the nations and all of those in them. May they be healing for us, those of us who have sin-sick souls who want to be made well. May we use them to love you and to keep your word. Amen. From the Apostle Paul, go out into the world in faith. Have courage. Hold on to that which is good. Return no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Love and serve all persons. But most of all, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. May the God of love, the Christ of peace, and the presence and the comforts of the Spirit be with us all. Amen.